to the seasons of my youth.
Is this the coat of many colors?
I recall a box of rags that someone gave us.
She got sent to school with this like crappy coat that her mom gave her because she had no money. And then she realized it was stitched with love and everything changed. Oh, Dolly.
Rich was so cultured. Three Dolly shows and Les Mis fan. I mean, sometimes you just can't judge a book by its cover. Just when you think a guy's all wearing black, you know?
Well, listen, like Ted, I'm a huge old school country fan. Yep. I love old school country.
I love country when country wasn't cool.
Like,
man.
Hank Sr.?
Love Hank Sr. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Hank Sr.'s good. I got to see Merle before he died.
Oh. Merle Haggard. Charlie Daniels band I loved. I mean, I grew up in Houston, so, you know, when Urban Cowboy came out, that whole soundtrack is just...
Are you more Houston or California? I split your Houston.
So I would say I have more Texan in me than I do California.
Okay.
So I would say Texan, there's more Texan in my blood than there's SoCal. Yeah.
Dude, there's nothing more Texan than having a dad that had a barbecue place in the middle of Texas.
Right.
Like, that's about as Texas as it gets.
And if you ever meet Ted Sr., I mean, he's all Texan. I mean, the way he talks, this... The way it's my favorite. So I love movies like Hell or High Water.
Oh, you know, great movie!
About West Texas. They just the
High Plains Drifter.
The writing. Yeah, exactly. Right.
We should get you down on
Lights.
It's the way guys bust on each other up here. They do it down there, but the term they use is good natured ribbing, and it's funny. I think it's wittier. I just think it's just a fun way to banter with your buddies down there. So
I should get him on a podcast with LeVar Ball and Tatum.
Oh, man. Senior, he would
love that. Did Senior ever, like, comment on your play or the franchise while you were playing on the record to anybody in Houston?
Not on the record. You know, he had thoughts. If he could, he'd have words for Barry Switzer. Why would he have an issue? Barry Switzer... we played the Dallas Cowboys in '96, and probably one of my best games as a pro. And Barry Switzer the next day came out. We couldn't block that number 52. Well, you couldn't learn your name, just son. Barry Switzer, like, he's got a lot going on there, Dad. I would. You got my number right, at least.
That's right. That's a sign of respect. Oh man, but these parents, you're right. With Tatum's dad talking, I do love it when the parents talk. It is good stuff, man.
And you know what? I don't know what the term is for this. It's not succubus, all right? So, but I keep seeing, you know, Jaden Daniels, I'm a big fan of his, but he fired his agent and his mom's his agent now. And I'm like, eesh. So I'm kind of like, take the under, whatever the Commanders are. Mom's.
Although things worked out for, what's his name, with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, and he didn't have an agent, and I think things worked out with him, right?
Did they win a Super Bowl?
I'm talking money.
Money.
I'm talking cash.
But Caleb and Jaden Daniels and Drake should collude. You know, they honestly should get together and set the market for themselves because they're all coming up next year.
That's true.
No question. By the way, we are going to have Marcus Jones from your New England Patriots on with us in just about maybe 7 or 8 minutes. Also, Chad Tracy tomorrow at 2:15. Mike Florio as well, right about this time. Tomorrow is going to join us. Look, it's all the stars come here to the Rich, Ken, and Ted show. Ted, the New England Patriots right now on theathletic.com, they came up with this list of the win totals, and then their experts all basically decided whether or not Vegas is right, whether it's too low or too high. The New England Patriots right now, the betting markets have them at 9.5 wins. They projected 10.3 wins. I don't know how they came up with 0.3, but they said that plenty of betting markets have them at 9.5, a number that seemed too low all offseason. The offense was already one of the best in the league, and at least on paper, got significantly better with the additions of A.J. Brown and Ronnie Dobbs. With a tougher schedule, the Patriots probably won't match last season's 14 wins, but I've waffled between predicting 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Where were you? You were like around 9, right?
Yeah,
like you
had them at 9. I'm at 10. I'm at 10 now. 10 feels pretty good. I just can't – you can't have less than 10 wins if you consider your quarterback to be one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think Drake May – is a top three, top four quarterback in this league. So regardless of how hard the schedule is, and the schedule is a major upgrade from last year. I mean, the first four teams they play this year, all playoff teams. I don't think a team is open with four playoff teams and to start a season in 30 years. And they probably play 9 or 10 top 15 quarterbacks in this year schedule compared to maybe 2 last year.
Yeah.
So it's a obviously it's a huge, huge difference. But I'm a little bit worried about the defense. I'll be honest. I'm worried about the front seven, the depth. But the offense is going to put up points. And so with that quarterback that they have and the coach, I think it's a 10-win team, which I think maybe is a 5, you know, kind of a 4 or 5 seed in the AFC.
Not only has nobody played in the preseason and Gonzalez has the contract thing, Harold Landry's still on the PUP list. I haven't even seen the new guy, Draymond Jones. Like, you don't get to watch the team. Is he any good? It is scary, their front seven.
Yeah. I hardly
in a bad way.
And Gabe Atkins, he's out there.
He's out there
killing grass.
That's but, like calling Tracy a nice guy.
Yeah, a little bit. So you're right. I don't know. Sometimes I used to read into preseason training camp. A lot of times, some of the best players that come out of training camp, they get cut. You know, so it's hard to kind of see exactly what they're thinking this far in advance for the season.
And one of the beat writers put out a list of like their top coverage guys, their special teams guys that turnover last year. They're missing like 5 or 6 of them, including Schooler, who's on PUP list as well. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty obvious they made this trade with Booty. This guy can probably play special teams. I think Vrabel's kind of looking around like, man, we need some help on the edges. Mm-hmm. He made the depth comment. Let's get rid of Booty. We can afford it. And hopefully this guy Reed comes in and can at least be a special teams guy.
Special teams. And I think situationally in certain things, you watch him, some of his tape. I was just watching some of his plays in this last break. He's in the box, kind of a blitzer off the edge, you know, kind of like what Devin Witherspoon did to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I think is what this guy can do. So although the safety wasn't like high on my radar of needs, there's depth issues that they had. So I think this guy feels – I need, again, 6th rounder from last year. I'm not getting crazy, but I think there's a role for him and a role that was missing before he got here.
Later on, I want to get your take on what the Patriots got for Kayshon Booty, because now that sometimes when you have a day to sit on it and really think it through, I know all of us, when we found out that it was, you know, just a guy who hardly played from the 6th round and a 7th round pick in 2028, we're all like, geez, really? Is this what they're getting? Because there had been talk of 3rd or 4th rounder they're going to get. But I want to get your take, Ted, on it now that you've kind of had a day to think on it. But in the meantime...